welcome back to it. It's the Steve Gruber Show. Thank you so much for getting on board with us. You can find out more at SteveGruber.com or at the Steve Gruber Show Facebook page. If you ever find an interview you want to hear again or, you know, hear what's going on, you missed something, check it out on Podbean, the podcast from the Steve Gruber Show, available at SteveGruber.com as well. Well, our next guest, Grant Birmingham, is Newsweek's technology editor. Grant, welcome to the program.
Thanks for having me.
And Silicon Valley. You know, Silicon Valley, you would think about all sorts of things, but when it comes to, well, guns, wouldn't be one of the things that I would think of, but apparently they have set their sights on, no pun intended, on smart guns. What does that mean?
Well, what Silicon Valley is doing is they are looking at smart guns as a field that hasn't been explored and that there's huge advantage in bringing in technology and selling a bunch of smart guns, which don't exist on the market at all right now. So they think if they can build a smart gun and build a company which makes smart guns, they can find a market.
So let me get this straight. If I'm understanding what you're saying, people in Silicon Valley that are basically anti-gun people, is that fair to say? That's my first premise. They're anti-gun people, so they want to build a gun that is a smart gun, so it would limit use of guns or access to guns or functionality of guns potentially. Does that make sense?
Well, I would say the people I talk to are probably more interested in selling guns. So I don't know if it's fair to call them anti-gun. These are people who want to start a gun business. A couple of them have storied history building regular guns. One of them designed the gun which reportedly killed Osama bin Laden. So really, I think they look at this as a market which is underserved that they can fill. The flip side of that is there's an enormous amount of political baggage, as I'm sure you're aware of.
Oh, sure.
You know, there's a New Jersey law which mandates smart gun sales if a smart gun ever comes on the market, which works well enough that the Attorney General signs off on it.
So what kind of technology are they looking at then? What kind of technology, when we talk about smart guns coming from Silicon Valley, and they want to target this market, there may be something to it. There may be an audience. There may be consumers that actually want this kind of technology, technology that I think in some cases would not be dissimilar to a smartphone where you put your finger on it and your fingerprint identifies you as the user of the phone or of the gun. The Japanese are using it with tourists to let your fingerprint let them know that that's your access to your bank accounts. I mean, what is that something we're talking about? That kind of technology? What are we talking about?
Exactly. I think that's sort of the ideal end goal, is a gun that someone can pick up and immediately knows who picked it up and whether or not it's allowed to fire, just like your smartphone. In the past, they've tried to do that using wristwatches and rings, which work by radio. The question is whether the technology now is good enough that you can make a super reliable firearm which works as well as your smartphone.
And what do you think? You're the editor there at Newsweek's technology division. What do you think? Do you think this is possible? Does it make sense? And can they make money?
I definitely think it's possible. The big question for me after this piece was I would like to fire one of these guns and see that it actually works and works well. Nobody's going to buy an extra complicated gun, which doesn't work. But I also think that there's probably a big market for it. 20 million gun sales in the country last year. Even if a small fraction of those people would rather have a smart gun in their house than a regular gun, that's a gigantic market for somebody, which really there's no gun manufacturer serving that right now.
So where are we in the evolution then of that? Because obviously the first thing that comes to mind to me, there's a company here in Michigan that has a locking device, a trigger lock that works on the same technology. Put your fingerprint on it, and it's supposed to fall away and would create the same sort of opportunity. The problem is the trigger lock system, at least so far, costs almost as much as a handgun. So if your handgun's $500 and the trigger lock's $400 or so it might be, a new gun developed by Silicon Valley or anybody else for that matter, the price could be substantially higher than an ordinary firearm, but that might be worth it to some consumers. Have they considered that?
Yeah, that's right. There is one, quote, smart gun on the market right now. It's the Armatix IP1, and it's about three times the price of a Glock, which that's a lot to pay for. But if you put yourself in the point of view of a consumer who's worried about having a gun in the house that maybe their kid can get a hold of, some people might be willing to pay that. Another place where people might end up using it is police officers. About 3% of police officers who are killed on the job are killed with their own gun. If you gave police officers the opportunity to reduce their potential fatalities by 3%, some percentage of police officers might be interested in that too. I mean, all of this is totally dependent on whether or not the gun works and works well and works reliably.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. It's all fine and well, but if you need it in a, you know, there's a critical situation and it fails or malfunctions, or, yeah, for example, if you get out of the shower because your smartphone is ringing, you go to touch the screen, you've got water on your fingers, generally doesn't work very well, does it?
Right, and you can accept that your phone's not going to work 5% of the time when you try it. I don't think you can accept that if you're a police officer and reach for your sidearm.
Yeah. I'm not sure if you could accept that if you're in bed and you hear somebody come into your house and you reach into your nightstand. I'm not sure if that's an acceptable percentage. You know, it works 19 out of 20 times.
Right.
Yeah, that's a bit disconcerting. All right. So what about the legality, the laws? You touched a little bit on that, but where do you think, where would the government come in on this? Would it be, what kind of regulations? Anything different from a standard firearm built by Smith & Wesson or anybody else?
Right. Well, this is where it gets really sticky. Obviously, the New Jersey law is on the books, and I think there are some people who would like to see that law replicated other places in the country. I think that the people who are actually making these smart guns see those laws as an impediment to building a market and actually getting people to use these things. They really want to make it so that consumers have the choice to buy these and hopefully actually start buying some of these guns. And they think that if a political battle comes up, it's probably going to set that back.
Yeah, the political battle could certainly hinder their opportunity. Grant, I greatly appreciate it, and it's a good conversation. And these smart guns, I guess the technology is worth exploring at a minimum. Certainly for, you know, I'm a gun owner, and I have a variety of guns. But with younger children in the house, something like that might be attractive to somebody like myself and other parents that have, you know, kids or grandkids around. I can see where there would be a market, even if the price were higher. I can see where it could have a dedicated audience.
Absolutely. I mean, and the thing is, these things are cool. Like, the thought of picking up a gun which knows that it's you is pretty cool. The question is, does it work? And, you know, this is a story which I'm going to stay on top of, and I'd really like to pick one of these up and give it a try.
Well, there you go. I think, and I greatly appreciate that. What I would like is for you to come back if you have the opportunity to use one of these guns, because I guess it does have the cool factor. I didn't really think about that, but yeah, you know what? It kind of does have the cool factor, because if a gun knows who I am and nobody else can mess with it, I think I kind of like that idea in some ways. It's the price. It's the overall concept. We need to know more, but I think we should stay on it. And Grant, great conversation.
Thanks so much for having me on, and I'd love to come back when I get my hands on one of these things.
Yeah. Where is there someplace people can find out what you're writing about and what's going on at Newsweek?
Newsweek.com. I will be covering smart guns into the future because I think this is a growing industry, and it's going to be really interesting to watch.
No, I greatly appreciate that. Grant Burningham is Newsweek's technology editor. Again, you can find him at Newsweek.com. Sir, have a great day.
Thanks so much for having me on.
All right, there you go. It's you know, these smart guns, this technology, you know, some folks find it prohibitive. They think that it's an attack on their freedoms. Now, if you're requiring somebody to have a smart gun, now that would be one thing. If somebody wants to have one, because, as I mentioned, they have young children or they're trying to be safer or more responsible because of kids or grandkids, and they're willing to pay an extra $400, $500, $600, whatever the price may turn out to be, then that's their choice as a consumer. And I would support that. I guess where I get concerned is the government mandating and demanding that that is the only gun you can have. That's where we get to a place where it's not going to work very well for me and for a whole host of other people, I believe. All right. Well, this hour of the Steve Gruber Show has been brought to you by the Michigan 529 programs, making sure your kids and grandkids get the education they need. To learn more, go to SaveWithMI529.com. And again, at SteveGruber.com, you can find podcasts, information, blogs, and so much more. I'm trying to put the resources out there for you. This is the Steve Gruber Show. We'll be right back.